people are already into the mode of preparing for Purim. The question is, which aspect of Purim do we focus on? So often the focusing gets into costumes, the shalchmonas, the food for the Suda. We don't look at some of the spiritual preparation for Purim, which is necessary. Hiding underneath the text of the Megillah is actually another Kabbalah Satorah. Chazal tells us that the pasuk Kibmu v'kibu aleihem ha'yehudim, that when the Jews received upon themselves, this refers to a new receiving of Torah. A Kabbalah Satorah, not of fear, but of Ahava, that was there on Purim. That in itself is a large and broad topic. But what we do know is that there is a parallel between that receiving of the Torah and the receiving of Torah that was done on Sinai. So therefore, if in approaching Purim we're approaching a Kabbalah Satorah, we have to prepare ourselves to be in shape, so to speak, for Kabbalah Satorah once again. One of the key aspects of Kabbalah Satorah was Vayichan Sham Yisrael. It says that Am Yisrael camped by Har Sinai, and it used the singular Vayichan, which Chazal explained was ki ish echad b'lev echad, like one person with one heart. Purim also, we find the attack of Haman describing Am Yisrael as yeshno am echad mefuzar u'mefurad bein ha'amim, that the nation of the Jewish people is scattered and divided among the nations. That's in the negative side. On the positive side, nikalu ha'yehudim, the Jews, in order to defeat their enemies, gathered together, formed a kohol, formed a gathering. So this is part of what we have to do on Purim. Rav Hutner Zatzal gave a very interesting tam for the drinking on Purim, which again, person, if you're going to be drinking, you have to learn how to drink, sometimes what to drink, and where you're trying to get to with your drinking. So one tam he gave, this brought in the Pachad Yitzchak, he gave with a mashal, that there were once two friends who learned in yeshiva together. And then they went their separate ways in life and they each became successful businessmen. One day in their business travels, they ended up in the same hotel. They meet each other, they're so happy, they hug each other, they're talking, but each one has a secretary, and the secretary says, "Sir, you have a meeting in 15 minutes. The other one says, "Sir, you have a meeting in 10 minutes. And they said, "What are we going to do? We hardly got to talk." So the hotel has a bar, and they tell the secretaries, "Take the credit card, order whatever you want." The secretaries go and drink, and the two friends get to be together. In a similar way, he says, so Am Yisrael at Matan Torah, we're all one, right? Am Yisrael really is one nefesh, together. Ki ish echad b'lev echad. What separates us? The guf, the body, the sense that we're these two separate worlds. So on Purim, we put the body to sleep, and the two neshamas can therefore join together. One picture and one taste of it. Now, there's fostering the positive side of togetherness, but there's also, and perhaps first and foremost, the stamping out of those things that destroy togetherness, those things that separate, that divide. Previous week's parsha, we have the isser of onoas dvarim, of saying hurtful things, saying things which hurt. The Torah repeats it in a variety of different ways. It speaks about it in general for people, of all types of people. It speaks about it for the ger, which according to the pshat is the ger tzedek, but some of Farshim say is really anybody who's a newcomer to a situation and therefore is in a more vulnerable standing. And for the yosom and almona, for the widow and the orphan. And this is a very powerful iser. The Torah describes terrible punishments to those who say words that hurt a widow or an orphan. They say that once Rabbi Yisrael Salanter's Talmidim were going to bake matzahs for him, he wasn't able to be present. The matzah baking, they asked him, which chumras, which stringencies do you want us to be careful of in the baking of the matzahs? He says, the owner of the matzah bakery is an almona, is a widow. Be very careful, very stringent, that you don't hurt her feelings. That's there in that world. Now, the word ono'o also refers to another type of damage you can do to someone, which is a certain form of overcharging, onas mamon. And Chazal said, gadol onas dvarim me onas mamon. The magnitude of hurting someone with words is worse than hurting them with money. And a few reasons are brought in the Gemara. One is, If you overcharge someone, you can regret it and you can give them back the money. If you said something hurtful to the person, you can't come over and kind of say, I know I told you you were an annoying nitwit, but I take it back. It doesn't work so well. Right? And another reason brought by the Gemara is Zeba Gufo, Zeba Mamono. In one case, you damage the person's financial holdings. But here, you affected the person himself. You affected his self-esteem, his Simchas Chaim, his self-confidence. That's something which is much more damaging. Now, I want to focus today on a particular type of Anos Dvarim that actually connects to Torah. Onos Dvarim that either stems from Torah or that affects another person's Torah. When I say stems from Torah, it doesn't mean stemming from the Torah Kedosha. The Torah doesn't say Onos Dvarim to anyone. But a person can, so to speak, through his sense of being motivated by Torah, can come out with Onos Dvarim toward others. Chazal tell us two things about learning Torah Shelo Lishma. On one hand, it says, La'olam yilmad adam shelo lishma, shmitoch shelo lishma balishma. That a person always has to start his progress in Torah by learning shelo lishma, not for the sake of Torah alone. Shmitoch shelo lishma balishma. That from that process of learning shelo lishma, you will come to learn Torah lishma. But there's other chazal, brought in the Yerushalmi, and other places that says very harsh language about a person who learns Torah Shelo Lishma. They use the language of Noach Lo Shelo Nivra, it would have been better had he not been born, or an even more visceral description, Noach Lo Shenepcha Shel Yoso Alponov Bime'ei Imo. It would have been better had the placenta been wrapped around his face in his mother's womb, and he'd born stillborn. Okay, this is harsh. So Tosfos tries to reconcile. How do we reconcile these two Gemaras? On one hand, it seems to say that the pathway is learning Shelo Lishma to get to Lishma. On the other hand, right, the placenta. How do we put these together? So he explains that there's a form of learning Shelo Lishma, which is Lekanter. Lekanter means to hurt other people, to embarrass other people, to try and show them up with your Torah knowledge and to show that they don't know and you know better and to embarrass them and make them feel bad. There you're taking the Torah, which is Torah's Chaim, which is Eitz Chaim Hilamachzikim Bo, and you're using it as a tool of death, right? To be embarrass a person publicly is equivalent to killing them. So to take the Torah, which is that source of life, and to use study of Torah to give you weapons to hurt someone, to embarrass someone, that is a very terrible form of onah, which can come from the Torah itself. So a person has to be careful how they relate to someone else's Torah. How you speak to someone else about the Torah they learn, and to treat it with respect, not to put it down, not to hurt them. It doesn't mean that we don't have arguments in Torah. There's a world of milchamta shel Torah when chavrusas are learning and arguing, when there's a question and a shir, and a question and an answer. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about here is zilzul in someone else's Torah. It's treating someone else's Torah with scorn. It's cheapening it. It's looking down upon it. That's a very destructive thing. The Gemara Maseches Nedarim on Daf Pei Aleph says a very interesting thing. It brings the question, Mipnei ma, why is it that ein mitzuyin talmidei chachomim, let's say talmidei chachomim b'bneihem? Why is it not always a constant that a talmid chacham has children who are talmidei chachomim? Why doesn't that formula always work? It would seem to be a natural progression. You have a talmid chacham, shouldn't his children also be talmidei chachomim? Doesn't always happen. One explanation in the Gemara is that you shouldn't say that the Torah is a Yerusha. Right? That people shouldn't get into this mode of thinking that there are certain royal families of Torah, and if you're not part of that family, you don't get Torah. Anybody can get the crown of Torah. It doesn't depend on who your father was, or what he learned, or what he did. But there's another puzzling answer of Ravashi. Ravashi Amar Mishum Dekaru Le'inshei Chamrei. Because Talmidei Chachamim call people donkeys. And therefore their children are not Talmidei Chachamim. Puzzle. So the Tolner Rebbe in one of his shiurim gave a very interesting explanation for this. It's part of a much longer mahalach about a chamor. Just parenthetically, our relationship to donkeys is puzzling, right? When you look at it, the donkeys appear throughout the Chumash, throughout Tanakh, and oftentimes have very special roles. Now, one of our most honored Shvatim, Shevet Yisachar, is compared to a donkey. Yisachar chamor gorem. Yisachar is this strong-boned donkey. And interestingly, Yisachar is a Shevet of Torah. Yodei bino le'itim. More Roshei Sanhedros, more heads of Sanhedrin came out from Yisachar than any other Shevet. Why the donkey? Right? If you go out in the street and try calling someone that, it doesn't go over well. Right? Nobody has a football team called the Donkeys. Right? Why is it that we would call Shevet Yisachar the donkey? Even more puzzling, you mentioned there's an interesting Zohar HaKadosh says that the word Chamor is Rashi Tevos for Chochom Muflog Verom Rabbonon. Chamor stands for Chochom Muflog, a great wise man, Verom Rabbonon, and loftiest of the rabbis, the donkey. So, again, giving a short summary of what he said, donkeys are very special creatures. They're used, they don't run fast, but they can carry heavy loads over very difficult terrain. In whatever situation, with a big load on their back and with difficult terrain to go on, they can put one foot in front of the other and get it from point A to point B. That's a chamor. And in learning Torah, the work of the chamor is very important. The idea of taking step by step in its proper order over difficult subjects, topics, difficulties that are there, that's what a person needs to be able to grow. It's not overly impressive, right? Many people in the learning you're doing here, you see, someone asks you, well, what are you learning? You know, so he said, well, I learned how to translate these words and I'm able to read these three sentences and explain what it says. Now, if a person is mezalzel in that, and a Talmud Chacham could have that tendency, right, to be mezalzel in that type of learning. Say, you know, his kid comes home and says, you know, Mr. So-and-so in Shul, he made a Kiddush because he finished all the parshas in Sefer Shmos with the Rashi in English. All right, you know, that's donkey learning. Right? What do you think? You know, somebody else says, so-and-so, he finished the whole Masecht of Mishnayos, Pirkei Avos. He's like, he's a donkey. And the Talmud Chacham keeps referring to this person, these people as a donkey. And the child learns to be mezalzel, to treat with scorn these important basic blocks of learning, important steps of learning, and therefore he doesn't become a Talmud Chacham. He doesn't go there. You have to be so careful with honoring every bit of learning that a person does. A person will say, but, you know, there's so much more to learning. But guess what? There's always so much more to learning. Our greatest Talmidei Chachamim, that very title itself, our greatest scholars are called Talmid Chacham, a wise student. Nobody ever maxes out in Torah. Every great Talmud Chacham, if you would interview him in the last moments of his life, would say, I have so much more to do. So much more that I don't know. And every one of them has someone else to compare himself to, who he learned from, either live or in the Sfarim, that he feels like an ant compared to them, that he doesn't have any grasp even of their understanding and only aspires to it. A person who thinks he's there in learning is a very dangerous person. They tell a story that in Europe, an idea came up among the Lithuanian yeshivas. Somebody came up with the following idea. He said, every yeshiva has the best guys and the other guys. Why don't we cherry pick from all the yeshivas, the best guys from each yeshiva, and make one yeshiva exclusively for the best of the best? The super yeshiva, the uber yeshiva, it's going to be. This was an idea. And they say that Rav Hutner Zatzal, who was a Talmid then in Slobodka, was tempted to join this yeshiva, to learn with the best of the best. And he came to the altar of Slobodka to ask him Eitzah. And the altar of Slobodka took him over to the window of the room that they were speaking, where you could see a river that ran through Slobodka. He said, better you should jump in that river and not come up and go to that yeshiva. And because a yeshiva which is built on elitism, which is built on us and the donkeys, right, is doomed to failure, is destructive, is something that would cause the spiritual death of the person, and is not Torah the way it's meant to be done and not the way it's meant to be learned. A great Talmud Chacham in saying a hesped about Rav Moshe Shapira Zatzal said a very interesting thing. He said there was one time he was working on a chiddush. It was a whole approach to a certain sugya in the Gemara, and he worked on it and he built it with all sorts of different things and proofs here and proofs there. He's someone who's known for the depth of his thinking. And he said he came to describe this to Rav Moshe Shapira, and Rav Moshe said, that's what the Mishnah means, right? And he read a line from the Mishnah. And suddenly he realized that all this work he did was Rav Moshe's basic understanding of the Mishnah. That was his starting point in the sugya. Right? That was where it went. And he realized this idea of leagues and levels and leagues and levels that are there. So every person has to realize that there are those above, and that every person has to realize that each person at their own level is part of the world of Limud Torah, and that it has value. And to be mezalzel, to treat the other person's learning with scorn, destroys it for him, and it's destructive for the person himself. They tell a mashal that was said, they said in Tzans, about a tailor who was a poor tailor, used to fix clothes for people, make clothes for people, sometimes out of very fancy fabrics, but he himself barely had two pennies to rub together. And he always wanted a silk bekesha for Shabbos. He wanted to wear a nice silk bekesha for Shabbos. So he would put aside coin after coin, week after week, to try and make his little collection. And when he thought he had enough money to buy the silk, he went to a fabric merchant and he said, I would like to make a silk bekesha for Shabbos. Here's my money, poured it on the table. And the guy snickered. He said, you can buy a silk handkerchief for that. Silk is expensive. And the man felt very bad. And he saw how bad he felt. He said, I'll tell you what, I don't know if you want to do this. He says, I have a roll of silk in the storeroom. It's like been there forever. For whatever reason, no one bought it. And there's been cold weather and hot weather. And it's in very bad shape. It's very delicate. It's very brittle. I'll sell it to you for that if you want. He said, yeah, please. And he took this silk and he worked with it so carefully. And he sewed stitch by stitch. And he made himself a beautiful looking silk bekesha. And then he came to shul that Shabbos the first time. And it looked so good. A friend came over and he puts his hand on his back. Wow, what a beautiful bekesha. And a piece comes off in his hand. Someone else comes to feel it, say, oh, this looks so nice. The sleeve comes off. The little kids notice this happening, and suddenly it's a whole party. Everyone's grabbing a piece of it and taking it off, and different things. And the Rav of the Shul spoke there. He said, that was a terrible thing that you did. He said, you don't pull apart. He said, but it was falling apart anyway. It was worthless. He says, you never tear apart someone's thing. The mashal was meant to apply to the idea of Torah. Don't take apart someone else's Torah. Don't look down on it. Don't make fun of it. There was a letter to the editor written in one of the Frum newspapers here. I don't know if people here listen to Frum Israeli radio, but about every 2 minutes there are ads, right? And one of the ads which constantly goes is for a little sefer that you can get. You can get it as a little book. You can get it in email. You can get it on your phone. It's called V'tein Chalkenu. V'tein Chalkenu, 5 minutes of learning a day, right? They estimate you can do it in 5 minutes. A little bit of Mishnah, a little bit of Gemara, and a little bit of Halacha. And the ads usually go with, my name is so-and-so, I'm, you know, a partner in such-and-such law firm, my days are very busy, but I never skip my 5 minutes of V'tein Chalkenu. So a woman wrote in a letter to the editor to this newspaper. She's saying, what in the world are we making heroes out of these batlonim who learn 5 minutes a day? 5 minutes a day, my son learns 12 hours a day. Why aren't there radio commercials saying, my son, Shlomi Schickelgruber, learns 12 hours a day, and Am Yisrael should reveal him? Right? This shnuk with his 5 minutes, right? Everybody has to talk, right? So what is that going to accomplish? What is that going to accomplish? To make a person feel bad about getting this book? Make a person feel bad for the 5 minutes? Those 5 minutes can change a life. Those 5 minutes can do so much. And for a person to look down upon it, why? Because more can be done. Who are you to judge how much more a person can do and how much more they can't? Everybody can do more. But value what there is. And from that, it can grow to more. And even if it doesn't, that itself is something of value. And a person shouldn't be putting it down. When you do that, it drives people away. There was a story about the Sdei Chemed, Reb Chizkiya Medini, one of the great Chachamim here in Eretz Yisrael. The Sdei Chemed is an encyclopedic work of halacha. And someone came to visit him, I believe he lived in Hebron, and the shul that he davened in between Mincha and Ma'ariv, they would sit and they would read Me'am Lois. Me'am Lois is a connection of Midrashim. It was written in Judeo-Arabic originally, and that was how they would read it. And everybody would take a turn reading. Everybody had a copy. You would sit there and people would take a turn reading. And this man came and he saw the Sdei Chemed sitting with the people with his Me'am Lois open. When he had his turn, he would read a piece. Someone else would read a piece. And afterwards he asked him, he said, Kvod Harav, how can you sit there day after day with that, reading some stories, the Midrashim you could do? He says, this is something valuable. If I don't treat it with respect, other people won't treat it with respect. I participate in it every day. It's important to recognize this and never to look down on what the other's doing. Someone I know wanted to make a siyum. He wanted to make a siyum, and he'd never done it before. And he chose a very legitimate way to do it. He had found recorded shiurim on the Masechta, and he listened every day to a recorded shiur on the Masechta and went along with it, and he finished the Masechta. When it came time for the siyum, he was very nervous about having to read the Hadron. Right? It's a little bit tricky there, the Aramaic, the different things, the Kaddish. So I said, well, why don't you take the art scroll, right? It has it with Nekudos in the back. He says, I don't want people to think I use the art scroll. I was like, why? What would be so bad? He said, no, they would think I'm a cheater. Now, again, would it have been better for him to learn with art scroll instead of the recorded shurim, art scroll with the recorded shurim? I don't know. But to create a climate in which a person has to be ashamed to use a tool for learning Torah that could be helpful to him. And again, you can ask your Rebbeim for when art scroll is too much of a crutch or when it can be used as something helpful. It may depend on the type of learning which you're doing. Rabbi Karlinsky divides between what he calls, I think, informational learning and skills learning. You can talk to him about it. But to create a climate in which a person has to live in fear of being laughed at for something which can help him, that's, again, something which is mezalzel from the other person's Torah. There's an idea of creating the balance between wanting more, striving for more, yearning for more, but also being happy with what you have. There's a pasuk I usually quoted at the end of the Zman in Mishlei. It says, Lev chacham liyamino, v'lev ksil lismolo. Right, so I saw the parish. What does it mean? The heart of a wise man is on the right side, and the heart of a fool is on the left side. Most doctors will tell you that we have the heart on the same side. So the parish I heard said the following. When you're opening up a Hebrew Sefer, the yamin, the right side, is that which you have learned already. The left side is that which you have not learned. Lev chochom liyamino. A wise man knows to look at the right side. To pay attention, look at what I did. Lev ksil is smaller. The fool keeps looking at, look at what I didn't do. And that destroys him. It takes away your spirit and your ability to go on. So this is what we have to do when we're approaching Purim and Kimu v'Kiblu. Part of the togetherness, especially togetherness of a community of Torah, is respect for everyone's Torah, respect for everyone's level in Torah, respect for the different ways that people learn, because different people connect to Torah in different ways, and different people learn in different ways. And you have to know also in terms of kiyum ha-Torah, in terms of things that people are doing, to know if they're doing something wrong, to be careful about being God's police, to be careful about how you're going to tell it to the person, to make sure that the balance is there between the Torah's commands about kavod ha-adam, to be careful with the kavod of the person, and educating the person in case they might be doing something wrong. I saw a story about Rav Moshe Kliers. Rav Moshe Kliers was the Rav in Tveria. He was from the Ashkenazi community, a Slonim or Chassid. And there was another Rav in the community who took upon himself to try and fix a problem that was there with the Eruv. On Shabbos, they had an Eruv for Shabbos. And on Shabbos, a couple of young men, Talmidei Chachamim, came running to Rav Moshe Kliers. And they said, this Rav did it wrong. The Eruv is no good. And he said, it's okay. And they said, but, he said, it's okay. After Shabbos, he met this Rav, and he asked him, I'm having a difficulty with something I've been learning. Could you learn it together with me? And he learned the sugya in Erevin that had to do with this problem with the Erev. And suddenly this Rav said, oh my gosh. He says, now I see that the way I fixed the Erev before Shabbos was wrong. The Erev was no good on Shabbos. He said, and you must have known. Why didn't you tell people? He said, because in Tveria, especially the way it's set up, carrying is only a problem with Rabbanon. But embarrassing you would have been a problem with Daraisa. Again, right, don't take this, ask your local authority before you're doing balances like this, right? And don't keep saying, well, you know, I'll throw out anything so as not to embarrass a person. But here, this picture of the balance, of knowing what's right and what's to do. A story I love very much about Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, that there was a boy who had learning disability. And he very much wanted to read the Haftarah of his Bar Mitzvah. Brachos in the Haftarah. So his parents hired a tutor a long time before his Bar Mitzvah to work with him. He worked very hard for a whole year. And it was approaching his Bar Mitzvah, and he had the brachos down, he had the Haftarah down. And then the tutor happened to look at a luach, a Jewish calendar, and he nearly fainted. Because he suddenly discovered that Shabbos came out with Rosh Chodesh on Sunday. And in such a case, you don't read the regular Haftarah. You read an Haftarah called Machar Chodesh. And he knew that there was no way for this boy to learn after of Machar Chodesh in time. He went running to Rav Shlomo Zalman. Rav Shlomo Zalman said, it's fine. The takana is only to read from the Nevi'im after davening. Their preferences, we pick for which one to say. You're totally yotzei reading the regular Haftarah. Let him read the regular Haftarah. When the day of the Bar Mitzvah came, that Shabbos, so the tutor came very early to shul. Even earlier than him, and that shul is Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, who lived in an entirely different side of town. And he said to him, why are you here? Rav Shlomo Zalman said, I was afraid somebody might make noise. Meaning he knew human nature, you know, that even if they tried to tell people, we asked and we're going to read this, there's going to be that guy who's banging, no! It says in my Chumash, we don't read this Haftarah. Right? You have to know how to do, how to protect. Torah is something which is meant to unite, to bring together, to bring life, not to destroy in that way. The midah that we have to work on, and Purim helps us with this, is the midah of the arrogance. It is the midah in which we take ourselves a bit too highly, a bit too seriously, and therefore allow ourselves to look down on others and somehow turn them into the donkeys. One of my Rebbeim, Rabbi Yankel Drillman, very uncharacteristically said something, a powerful bit of Musar once at a Purim Masiba. He said, the Leitzonus, which is allowed, Chazal said, Kol Leitzonusa Asura, Leitzonus is joking, making fun. All Asura aside from Leitzonusa da Avodah Zarah, from making fun of Avodah Zarah. And again, that can be expanded to other negative things. But he said, what Leitzanusa da Avodah Zarah do we do? Right? To call the 25th of December Kratzmach or something. He said, that's very little league Leitzanusa da Avodah Zarah. What Avodah Zarah are we really wrestling with? So Chazal said, Kol HaMizgoy, a person who's arrogant, is Ki'ilu Avid Avodah Zarah. It's as if he serves Avodah Zarah. Because the Pasuk tells us, L'tovi To'eva El Beisecha. Don't bring a To'eva into your house, referring to Avodah Zarah. And the Pasuk also says, Tovas Hashem Kol Gvalev, that a person who's arrogant is a To'eva. He says, so the true Leitzonus, and on Purim that has to be the true thing, he says in Yiddish, he said, Machen Leitzonus Hun Zich. Make fun of yourself. Not in a destructive way. Don't take yourself so seriously. Right? And that can be part of the whole fun of Purim. Put on a silly nose on your face, dance around on the table, right? Let people laugh at you, let you laugh at you. Turn the gaiva mida down, right? And to be able to do that, and then that hopefully breaks down those barriers, allows all those different souls that were there, ki ish echad b'lev echad, to connect together as one, and hopefully that'll be the greatest shalach manos that we get from Purim. Wonderful afternoon.